This is Robert Martellacci, Chief Digital Curator of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology magazine. This podcast is brought to you by C21 Canada, Canadians for 21st Century Learning and Innovation. I'm honored to have joined me today for a Mindshare Learning Moment, Peter Singh, Chief Technology Officer for the Toronto District School Board. Good evening, Peter, and thank you for joining me today.
Good evening, Robert. It's my pleasure to be online with you, actually.
Congratulations on the success of the recent Unleashed Learning Conference. I really enjoyed it and meeting up with some of your colleagues and educators. There was a high level of engagement and collaboration during the course of the day, and that informal learning that happens, you know, casually in between sessions was very evident. What inspired it?
Well, thank you very much for Robert joining us that day, actually. And it's funny, after you asked how it all started, the original idea was born out of us hosting three Google camps in the past 2 years. We saw a huge growth in the GAF adoption after every Google camp.
Interesting.
And again, those Google camps were happening on the weekends. So we thought about that we need to actually do something a little bit different and to move a big system like TDSB forward. So we thought about doing something in the weekdays and actually have quite a volume of folks come out from the school system, not just the teachers, even the leaders, including principal VPs, and quite a number of central folks who are driving our system, to bring them all together for a day of learning. So again, that's how we started. End of the day, we find that to really, really transform the learning in the classroom side, a district like our size, we need to have a very focused day. And that's why you saw that the focus of the day was around pedagogy, not just talking about the day itself too.
Absolutely. As a proud alumni of George Harvey Collegiate Institute, I'm very impressed with the growing technology savviness and teachers. There's a lot of passion there, and it's a testament to the excellent work of you and your team and Kevin Bradbury's teaching and learning group as well. You know, and you hit it the nail on the head. It's that technology-infused pedagogy that can't be forgotten. You seem to be really tightly aligned, and as you alluded to, you know, the largest district in Canada, I think you've got over 600 schools and over 300,000 students. That is one challenging beast to manage, no doubt, from a technology infrastructure standpoint in your role.
That's true, Robert. And again, just want to say thank you for highlighting the coherence you have seen between the traditional IT and teaching and learning with technology department. Personally, I'm a big fan of cultivating relationships. Kevin and I have been working together for the last 10 plus years to move the tech-infused pedagogy at TDSB. I have worked in various roles in the past to make this shift happen. Now, being in the role of head of IT and him being the program coordinator of teaching and learning with technology team, we are both in the key roles to drive this change. And also, I have kept a permanent seat for Kevin and his team at our IT managers bi-weekly meetings to make sure the classroom focuses in our all technology decisions. So active participation by Kevin in all stages of technology onboarding has helped us as a district to move forward.
I was going to comment, that's very strategic. It eliminates the silos, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. And we've been on that path to de-silo things at TDSB. And on the plus side, I have a strong team of 249 folks in IT.
Wow.
District's technology needs. And on average, we have seen 10 plus years of K-12 experience on the team. So within IT, we are focused on moving from a firefighting stage to become an innovative shop. And we keep a sharp focus on our client needs to truly understand our clients better.
Right.
We within IT run a special PD strategy, and part of that PD strategy is that each person who works centrally within IT has to go spend a day at the school. Intent is that they should learn what's going on in our classroom space. They might sit in a kindergarten or might visit the library, sit down with a principal, talk to the caretaker, or you might be sitting in a grade 12 classroom and bring that know-how back into our IT shop. So I believe that by this experience, we're able to translate better decision-making when it comes to tech for the board.
Well, that's very evident, and it's a good segue to my next question. And it's noticeable how much attention you pay to teacher needs and how important are listening skills in your role and your team's role as well.
Well, that's right. And you saw on that day, we just launched our Vision for Learning work. And it's again, going through the details on it, you can see the student is at the center of that strategy. And it's being to bring coherence and focus into meet the needs of our students, which we believe are global learners. And because by the time they graduate our system by 2030, their playground is not just going to be Toronto or Ontario or Canada or North America. It's global. So
absolutely,
to help them to grow into that global citizen role, we believe that we needed to have a focus on literacy, numeracy, and digital fluency. So some of this work is built on the work we have done in the TDSP for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And with the change in the leadership at the top under John Malloy, we're having a very coherent and a focused approach to some of these key areas, see how we can actually move the system forward.
That's really exciting. That whole change leadership notion is really important, and in having everyone, you know, pulling in the same direction with the new vision is extremely timely, isn't it?
It is, you can see that recently also the Ministry of Education also launched a 21st Century Global Competencies Framework too. So the work we have been doing at the TDSP for the last few years, and also looking what the ministry's plans are, we're trying to align all those things up, and that's where the vision of learning concept has born. And on April 19th at the TDSB Tech Conference, that's exactly what you saw.
Right.
With the director's opening keynote, we just started that journey.
Well, it's an exciting journey for sure, and it was great to see that, you know, those 21st century skills infused in there. And I had the opportunity to see in action on Friday at the McMurk Business Showcase of grade 5 and 6 students. I was fascinated to see that here these kids started these businesses, and I was buying a chess set and eating some gourmet, you know, macaroni and cheese. And, you know, these kids were learning true 21st century skills in the process because of some great teachers who really embrace it.
The evidence is actually all over the district, and I'm glad you were able to come out to McMurst that day, and our superstar teachers like Zulia and Kamala there, they have actually really, really changed the classroom space big time. And you can see how the pedagogy is actually driving it, and technology is helping to actually move that space forward. On the flip side, recently, and I had an opportunity also to attend one of the hackathons that was held by our Model School for Inner Cities team. And I was actually judging at that hackathon.
Right.
I had an opportunity to visit to 7 or 8 tables.
Right.
A grade 7 or 8. And actually, I was blown away some of the ideas they had and their presentation skills, putting together their whole concept, debating their ideas. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
And to see kids actually doing this at grade 6, 7, 8 and what their abilities will be by the time they get into high school, college, university, I see a really, really a bright future for our kids.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's exciting to see that transformation happening in that accelerated change, you know, and it's the challenge is always, you know, for teachers to keep up with that and to have that that magic happening in all schools and not just pockets. Getting beyond the pockets of innovation is what always is a bit of a challenge. Let's shift gears a little bit. This is our Buyer's Guide Special Edition this month of May. And what advice do you offer teachers looking to acquire new technology in the classroom? There's always those who would like to be at the forefront of innovation and tinker and, you know, pilot things.
You know, it's a very tough question in a way, too, because I think I look at the lens of what are the learning outcomes we're trying to accomplish in the classroom space. So what I will share with you, with Robert, actually, is something I have seen within the TDSB. So the trends I have seen within our own space. One
right.
of the big change we actually made this year was around actually funding the technology in the classroom too. Instead of central decision making, actually, we moved that money directly into our school accounts.
Okay, interesting.
Schools had money sitting in their budget line right in the beginning of the school year. And we actually complemented that with putting together a guidebook. So the guidebook was actually, the whole thing was born out of a discussion with Teaching and Learning with Technology team to actually help our teachers, schools, to actually make that technology decision, say, what do I need for my programs within my own school? So with that shift and the vision of learning, having that coherence and focus at the forefront of what we're trying to accomplish around 21st century global competencies, the schools started to actually line themselves up, saying, what do I need? So the trends I've seen so far in K-3 space, I see a lot of touch screen experience.
Right.
And that's driven by two environments, which is iPad and non-iPad devices itself, too.
Sure.
And after grade 4 onward, I started to see that schools are interested in a device which might have a screen physically attached to your keyboard. So in that space, we saw a huge success for Chromebooks in that particular space. And from grade 9 onward now, we started to see a lot more bring your own device concept taking off itself too.
Right.
That does not stop that schools still have labs hanging around. It's not like that we have totally eliminated the labs from the school, but our push is slowly take them out of that legacy thinking that we still need labs to bring more portable and mobile technology within the schools too. So when I look at it and step back and see what kind of footprints are out there, we see close to 50% of our footprint is still in Windows environment.
Mm-hmm.
Our iOS environment has exploded like everyone else in the last few years. It's close to 30%.
Wow.
And when I say close to 30%, I'm talking about 28,000 iPads and TDSB.
That's incredible.
So it is. And on the Chromebook side, we are close to 12% itself. And still, we have quite a decent footprint of Mac OS environment too. And some of the high-end graphics labs and environments are still looking for that, and that footprint is close to 7%. And the Android side, it just started to grow on us, and it's pretty much close to 1% at this stage. But I believe Android could be the next big push for us over the next 2 years or so, as devices of price cost comes lower and lower.
Right.
Folks will be interested in that space itself.
Right, and it helps the equity, address the equity issue, doesn't it?
It does, in a way, and the other piece is, on the IT side, we can't live and breathe in a space where we traditionally said, oh, only these kind of devices can come in, only this environment,
right,
based on a specific OS will be good for us. When you have a big influx of bring your own devices concept, you can't really tie down yourself telling the parents and students what they can buy with their own money.
Yeah.
So your back-end ecosystem has to be actually ready for anything that walks through your doors. So sometimes I give an example of telcos, what telcos have done. Telcos don't really care about what kind of smartphone we carry. They actually deliver some of the core services. It doesn't matter what kind of smartphone in your hand.
That's a good point.
I believe the IT shops need to be exactly in the same mindset. That your back-end core ecosystem should be robust and rock solid to meet the needs of the classroom space, doesn't matter what device is walking through your doors.
Now, one of the challenges, I know, you know, my office being based at York University, on average, a student will carry 2 and 3 devices. And so it puts a pretty big strain on the wireless capacity. How are you guys managing with the delivery of wireless across the district, given the magnitude of your, you know, you're running, it's like a city in itself, you know, that you're managing.
Oh, that's true. Actually, when you make the comment about the city with itself, it's huge. I had one time a vendor walk through our doors and I was explaining the size of our IT footprint to one in the district, and he shook his head and he goes, "It feels like you're running a small country." So it stayed with me for quite a number of years, because that's how he saw it. When you actually servicing 240,000 plus students, and you have close to 42,000 staff members, so pretty much close to 300,000 people are playing in your sandbox.
And every day,
you don't own every single device that's connecting your network.
Right.
So it's a very, very challenging space. And end of the day, you still want to provide that rock solid, safe and secure environment, which does not really disrupt the learning in the classroom space.
Absolutely. From a vendor perspective, you know, the whole startup frenzy that's happening, they're always looking for pilot opportunities in districts. You know, what? How do you manage that in allowing them to come into your sandbox? And what should they be looking for before they approach a school?
I think I'm really excited about the startup culture that's building in Toronto itself. So a number of incubators are doing really impressive work in Toronto. One of the pieces I see that's missing on quite a number of startups is around pedagogy.
Mm-hmm.
So they put a team together, they have ideas, they're good programmers, they're tech-savvy kids, but end of the day, I find sometimes they feel wacky, and they really, truly don't understand that this is actually how our classroom space is operating now. They might see that when they went through the schools and high schools, things could have been different, but I see the missing pedagogy on their teams is one shortfall for some of these teams. The second piece I see that some of the concepts are not really enterprise ready. So when we look at TDSB, scaling is huge for us.
Right.
Anything we bring in has to be robust and scalable. So that's another lens we look through it. So sometimes I recommend these startups to go to work with the smaller districts and actually iron out the kinks before they actually approach us for some of their pilots, because we cannot roll out a solution with bugs to the system. So if I'm working, rolling something out, and it's going to go to one teacher in 600 schools, and the teacher runs into a problem and they call us, that's 600 calls coming in.
Right.
The numbers are huge when you're even doing a simple pilot itself too. So it's not a simple, straight thing that you have a formula and you bring their technology in, people play with it, they give you feedback, then you're ready to roll out to the rest of the world. I had one company come in and they're saying, "We're ready for you." And I asked them how many schools you've been working with it. And they could not tell me the number of schools, but they told me it's 12 teachers they have worked with so far in different
classes. Oh my goodness, yeah.
And so their scalability was that they serviced only 12 teachers. And we have a high schools where number of teachers easily cross 100.
Right.
And so it becomes a huge challenge.
Yeah, and yeah, it's perspective. They have
these startups, because they haven't looked at enterprise scale. They're just at the very first step to launch their solution.
Absolutely. That's really good advice that you're providing for these companies. What are some of the common mistakes that vendors make in developing solutions that you see?
One of the challenges I see, on an average, Robert asked me, I see 6 to 8 vendors a week.
Wow.
And again, there's a lot of time commitment on our side to actually listen to all these folks. And again, I try to narrow down certain timelines with sit-down meeting with these folks. A lot of winners walk through the doors not understanding K-12 space. And instead of just building those relationships within the K-12 area, I find them, it's more of a sell mode, more of a marketing.
Right.
And I have a few folks who will walk in with white papers in their hands saying, we can save you so much because our white paper says that. And not truly understanding when you ask them, what problem are you trying to solve for me? And because they're not familiar with K-12, so you just become one of the unknown verticals to them. And they try to actually push their solutions on us where there might not be no solution with the K-12 space.
Yeah,
I think learning around the K-12 sector itself and working with it, it's huge.
Yeah.
If you have worked, some of the vendors might have done some impressive work with colleges and universities. But when you look at K-12, our clients are 6-year-old kindergarten to a grade 12 kid.
Right.
Could be even a professional hacker.
Yes.
Right? So you're trying to actually service these different levels. At the same time, you're trying to secure and protect them from others and also sometimes from their peers within the system too. So at college and university, a solution might have worked well because you're dealing with the grown-up kids or adults, but by the time you start looking at kindergarten grade 1s, 2s, and 3s, that solution might not be ready for that space itself too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But awareness really need to pay attention to K-12 differently.
Yeah, excellent advice. Are there any gaps that you see in terms of tech needs that you see in education? If you were a startup, what might you consider developing? How's that for a question? Loaded question.
It's a tough one to crack. I have seen lately there's been quite a bit of work done on the assessment side.
Right.
And there have been quite a number of companies who actually started to work in that space. They're trying to close that gap itself too.
Right.
And I also look at it that it might not be just solving a one single problem within the K-12 space itself. It could be overall. And some of the next generation of software that Skyrie see, they are actually now addressing the needs of today's student, teacher, and parents. So
right.
Anything that people work on it, they actually have to understand that the need in today's schools is not just about the teacher. It has to be looked through the lens of the student needs and also around the parents.
Right.
Because the learning does not just happen in the classroom anymore. And to me, a lot of learning actually happens non-school hours for some of our or a lot of our kids.
Absolutely.
Whatever the environment we try to build and the software we try to create, so all those solutions actually have to understand that student, teachers, and parents, they move in between and in and out from the school time into their personal time, and the learning can continue in all those spaces. So any thought around that will be very powerful. And if you can actually bring the next generation of look and feel to that environment, plus infuse some of that STEM or gamification into it, it will be really, really good to actually build an ecosystem for the next generation of learners.
And in the cloud, of course. The cloud is huge now.
So you asked around the cloud itself. When I was actually talking about all those spaces, I think cloud plays a huge part in that ecosystem itself.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, cloud doesn't mean it's just somewhere else. It's TDSB being a big district itself, a lot of services we offer for our folks, that also becomes a cloud because they don't know where the things are.
Right.
At the end of the day, they just need that service.
Right.
And it gets delivered whenever they need it.
Is that your own private cloud of sorts, if you will?
Oh, we are. We actually are at the very early stages of nailing down the cloud strategy for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The future I see for ourselves is you have to have a decent mix of public and private. And mm-hmm. there's going to be some of the key pieces of what will be in hybrid mode for us.
Yeah.
You can't move all your IT workloads into the cloud. But some of
Absolutely.
In K-12 itself, we find that there isn't enough funding for us to actually spend dollars on business continuity and disaster recovery pieces sometimes. And the cloud actually becomes a very key piece when you're actually putting together your the DR and the BC strategies together.
Fascinating. When I was in Victoria for ERDI, I drove up to Cowichan School District and met with the superintendent there, and they've developed their own private cloud. It was fascinating, some of the things they were doing. So might want to share that contact with you as you go down that path. How is the Learning Commons makerspace kind of STEM movement gaining traction in the TDSB these days?
I will see it's a huge shift. And traditionally for us, the librarians, especially in the elementary panel, has been the key technology person at the school. So we would do quite a bit of work with our library folks also within the TDSB. In the last few years, we were able to move our library environment from in-house to the cloud. So the kids have the same experience inside and outside the classroom itself. And in the past, we were also struggling with multiple logins to multiple resources. So we actually have brought all that down into a single sign-on.
That's fantastic.
For our kids. And that now slowly started to go into turning our libraries into learning commons. And slowly, we're on that path. And over the next few years, I believe all our libraries are representing that new concept of learning commons. But on the makerspace side, a lot of schools have jumped on that. And we also run a close network of, we call them the digital lead learners.
Right.
Tech-savvy teacher within the district. And we have close to 120 of these teachers who are actively participating with us. When I say with us, that's teaching and learning with technology team and the IT team itself too. And I see already a lot of them are jumping on turning those environments in their schools into really, really maker spaces. And they're trying to bring the STEM piece and a bit of learning common, and also looking at companies in the private sector, how they are creating those next generation of this, not just the working spaces, but working spaces from the lens of collaborative learning spaces. So all that thinking is going into a makerspace, but I've been impressed with some of the teachers who have actually marched on that journey and have come up with some really neat and cool stuff for our kids.
Fascinating times at the TDSB, for sure.
Exciting times. And it's not just the TDSB. I also find in education itself, I've been in it for almost 22 plus years, but the last few years have been really, really exciting in education. I think the big kudos also to the companies like Google, Apple, and Microsoft of the world, because
right.
I started to see that they're actually now trying to think about classroom as a very critical part of the overall strategy. And they're actually creating the environment, building the writing the software and creating the software and the next generation of learning spaces in the cloud, which are actually catering K-12 itself. So with the mix of all that and the next generation of devices, which we all love, is actually really, really changing the learning landscape for us.
The kids are, I wish I was a elementary school student all over again with all that amazing technology and learning potential that's out there for kids today.
Oh, exciting, because in Toronto, honestly, we see kids are iPad smart when they walk through kindergarten now.
Yeah, 100%. Well, congratulations on inspiring this, Peter, with you and your team and the TDSB at large. It's great to see the big ship turning in an exciting direction as an alumni.
That's great. I mean, Robert, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk tonight and share some of the thoughts with you. It's been a really, really positive experience for me, too.
Thank you again. That was Peter Singh, Chief Technology Officer for the Toronto District School Board. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. My name is Robert Martellacci, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.